Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Yud Tes. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Altia Goldstein Alta Shulamis Ben Baruch Shaul Halevi. All the shams we learn for should have an Aliyah from all learning. Okay, we pick up six lines down from the top on Yud Tes Omid Aleph with the words Boy Reish Lakish. We're going to ask an interesting question today, which we had alluded to yesterday. Exactly, how does Yud work? Boy Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish asked the following question: Mahu Shemiyayid Odom Livno Katan. Can a person be miyayid? Can he give over this Amoho Evriya to his son in Kiddushin through Yud when the son is not a Gadol? Normally, we of course know that only a Gadol can marry a woman. A person who is a Katan, there is no mechanism in place for that Katan to get married. A Tana, her father can marry her off, Midaraisa. But a Katan, the father doesn't have any right to marry off the Katan. But via this Amoho Evriya coming into the domain of the Adon, so the Adon can marry her, so can the Adon, because the Pasuk tells us, Vim Livno Yodena, so does the Pasuk tell us that the Katan, son of the Adon, can be married, Midaraisa, to this woman? So that's Reish Lakish's question. Mahu Shemiyayid Adon Livno Katan, can a man marry off through Yod his son who is a Katan? There are two possibilities over here, yes or no. Bino Amar Rachmana, the Torah says, Vim Livno Yiodena. So, Bino Kaldum. That means any son, including a Katan. Or do we say no? Odomo Bino Dumya Dide. Or that the son has to have the same parameters as the Adon, the father. Obviously, the father is a Gadol, and therefore the son has to be a Gadol too. Mahu Gadol, Af Bino Gadol. They both have to be Gadol. That's the question that Reish Lakish asks, and Rosera gives us an answer. Amar Rosera says, Toshma, the Pasuk tells us, Ish Asher Yinaf is Ashes Ish. So we darshan Ish, the first Ish in the Pasuk, that's Prat Lakata, tells us that a man who goes and commits adultery, Isha Sheyinaf, is Ashes Ish. So that person who is going to be, Rachbon al-Islam, committing adultery, the only way he's punished if he is a man, he has to be a Gadol. And then it says, Asher Yinaf is Ashes Ish. It tells us again that he commits adultery with the wife of a, quote, man, that the woman is married to a Gadol. So this Pasuk seems to exclude Pratli Ashes Katan, to teach us that there is no din of an Ashes Katan, and therefore, the E Amis Miyayed, if you're telling me that this yiyud could be done by the father to his son who's a katan, so then imkei motzino ishus lekatan, then we would have an example where there could be an ashes katan, and not only an ashes ish, an ashes gadol, but there could be an ashes katan. For the fact that the pasuk tells us that there is no such thing, therefore Reb Zeira wants to bring an answer to Reish Lakish's question that no, you cannot give the adon cannot give over this woman, this amoho evriya, to his son if his son is a katan. Where it says, Pumfakert, the exact opposite. Vilamai, what are you saying? Ain't me I? You're saying that a man cannot give his son, who's a katan, over in yield to this Amo Evriya? That is, again, not correct. Amai, call me Mayit, lay crot. Then why did the Pasuk have to tell us? Ashayinav is Ashes Ish. Why did it have to tell us that you can't go and be chayit for adultery if the woman wasn't married to a gadol? Mustn't it be that, in fact, there is a scenario where there is an Ashes Ish that is, in fact, an Ashes Katan, and only the punishment of adultery doesn't apply in that situation? Tiv showed Mina Demiyayit. You can exactly learn from this possibly the exact opposite of what Rosaria said. In fact, learn from here that there is Yid to the Katan. Why? Because if, in fact, there wasn't Yid to the Katan, you wouldn't need a Pasuk to tell me that you're not chayav adultery for somebody who's married to a Katan. You're only chayav adultery if you're married to an Ashes Ish. So, obviously, there must be a scenario that the Pasuk is excluding. So, mustn't it be that Yiyud does work for a Katan? So, the exact opposite of Rav Zeira. So, Rav Ashi says, not necessarily, because there's another scenario where you could have this Pasuk required for, because there's another scenario where you could have an Ashes Ish, that the Ish is a Katan, and that's why you need the Pasuk to exclude the punishment of adultery if the woman is married to that type of a Katan. And what is that? Rav Ashi says, I'm Rav Ashi, Hocha biyavam ben teisha shanav yom echad habal yavim to askinan. Here we're dealing with a brother, Nebuch, who passed away, and he has no children, so therefore the other brother, you have Reuven, who passes away, so his brother Shimon is chayev to do yibam. But what happens if Shimon is 10 years old? Shimon is 10 years old, so his biyah by definition is considered biyah after the age of 9 years and one day. So his halachic status of being able to have relations is there. His relations are real relations, as opposed to before 9 years and one day, it's not considered halachically to be relations. So therefore the yibam wouldn't take effect, but the yibam does take effect And now we're working on a simple understanding that the Yibam would take effect on a Daraisa level. That's the way Rashi understands this over here. So Tosa has a different understanding, but Rashi says the Yibam would take effect, therefore, in a boy who's 9 years old in one day, up until the age of Bar Mitzvah, that Yibam, even though he can't be Mekadesh a woman because he's still a Katan, but he can be Miyabem a woman and make her, that woman, his wife on a Daraisa level. So Yavam, who's Ben Teisha Shanav Yom Echad, Habo Al Yivimta, who does have relations with this Yavama, in that situation, the Araisa Chasulei, on a Daraisa level, this is a full-fledged marriage. That's the way Rashi understands this. So this is now a full-fledged marriage. This 10-year-old boy is, in fact, on a Daraisa level married. And therefore, you would have said, if somebody then goes and has a Rachman of the son, an adulterous relationship with his wife, that the person would be Chayiv Misa. No, Ma would detain him. Kivon dimedaraisa chazulei ubiyasu biya habolach mischayev beishus ish. Therefore, you would have said that this is a regular case of a married woman, and Rachman Lassad, if she commits adultery, the Boel and her would both be chayev misa. So therefore, this comes to, Pasuk comes to teach us, ki enaf ishes eishus ish, it's only in that situation when it is an eishus ish, when the woman is married to a gadol. Not that she's married to a raisa, but she's married to a gadol on a Daraisa level, as opposed to this case where she's married to a Katan on a Daraisa level, and that's why you need the Pasuk Kamash Vlan to teach us that in this situation, you don't get a punishment of a capital crime. Terrible aveira, but you don't get a punishment of a capital crime. Ah, that's why you need the Pasuk for, and therefore we haven't resolved our question from Reish Lakish. What is the case of Yid by a Katan? Can the Adon go and marry off the Omo Hevriya to his son who is a Katan? So Gemara says, my have a lot. No, so what's the answer? So Gemara says, Toshba, let's bring an answer for the following Brysa. The Brysa says, Omo Rabbi Ivo, Omo Rav Yanai. Rav Ivo says the name of Rav Yanai. Ein Yid El Begado, that he paskins that there is no concept of Yid over here unless the son is a Gado. When it says, the in live no yadena, the son has to be a gadol domet to the father. Ein yid elamidas, and he adds there is no yid unless there is das over here as well. Now that implies the simple understanding again, according to Rashi over here, is that this is the same thing, and that's why the Gemara asks, Tarti, why are you telling me this as if it's two dinim? It's one din. The reason why it says over here ein yid elamidas is because you need to have das. So ein yid elamidas, aren't they the same thing? And why, therefore, did Rav Ivo, in the name of Rav Yanai, say seemingly that this is two dinim, ein yud el begadol, and another din, ein yud el bedas? They seem to be the exact same din. So we have two answers for this. The first one is the Gemara is explaining, ma tam kamar. No, it's really one din, and the second statement explains why the first statement is correct. He's getting us an explanation. Ma tam ein yud el begadol. He first said, ein yud el begadol. And then, not that he's taking a second din, he's telling us, and why is there no yid el begadol? Because you require das. Ein yid el bedas. Lefisha ein yid el midas. And therefore, that's one statement that Ivo, in the name of Rayani, is making, that there is no concept of yid by this katan. The Baal cannot give the Omavriya over to his son who's a katan via yid. It's not going to work on a Daraisa level. And the reason is because this young son doesn't have das. So it's one statement that he's making, the second statement just explaining the first statement. Alternatively, Teretz number two, everybody saying, well, no, who are we talking about the das over here? It's not talking about the das of the son. Maimi das, it is a second statement. Rav Ivo, Amar Rav Yanai, is making two statements. Number one, ein yud el begadol, that you can't do yud unless the son is a gadol. And number two, a totally separate statement, that ein yud el midas of the girl, the Amar Rav Yanai, has to know that she's being married with yud in this situation. And that's the second teretz over here. My midas, it means midas dida. And where do we see this from? The Tani Abaye bereid Rabbi Yavohu, that Abaye, who was the son of Rabbi Yavohu, said as follows. The pasuk tells us, Asher lo yi'ada, they have da. We've had this pasuk many times already. So it teaches us, Merlamed, shetzarech liyada, that when you do yid, there has to be das over here of this young girl, of this Amohavriya. So that's the Brysa that Abaye Brei the Rabbi Yavohu brought down. And now he brought it down and he explains it. Who Tani La? Who Amar La? So he taught us this Brysa and now he explains this Brysa. And he says the Brysa is talking about Bekidusha Yud. It's talking about here where you did Kiddushin via Yud. And this is the machlokas we had yesterday, which we're going to see inside today in much more detail. This goes according to the opinion of Alibi, the Rav Yosef of Yehuda. This goes according to the opinion of Yosef of Yehuda, who says what? The Amar Mos Harishonos Lav L'Kiddushin Nitnu. That money that the Adon gave over to the father when he took this young lady, this Omo Avriya, into his domain as a Omoho Evriya. So that money isn't the Kiddushin money according to Yosef Yehuda. He has to go and subsequently free her from paying back the rest of the prorated amount. She worked for 3 years, so half of the, let's say $600 for the 6 years, so she worked for 3 years, so the other 3 years, he's now marrying her with the forgiveness of that loan, of the additional $300 that she would have to work. He's saying, no, that's the Kesef Kiddushin. Not the $600 he gave to the father, but it's the forgiveness of the loan. So this is the Aliba, the Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, the fact that he's doing something for her right now that's worth the Shava Pruta. So that is the yield. That's how yield works. Not from the kiddushin, the money that was given over originally to the father. That's not kesef kiddushin. That's, he paid the father. And now when he's marrying off the girl, the Amariah, to his son or to himself, that yield is accomplished by the forgiving of the loan. That's Rav Yosef Yehuda's opinion. The most Rishonos aren't the kiddushin. It's the forgiving now of the loan that makes them into a married couple. And therefore, Abaye Brei, the Rebbe Yavo, is explaining this Brisa according to the Shita of Rav Yosef Yehuda. And therefore, since this Omo of Ria is right now getting married, and it's not from the Kedusha from her father, she must have Das, she must have an understanding over here that she is being married. More or less later on, but she's a Ketana, how can she have Das? How does that work? So this is a special din in Yiyud that this is allowed. Alternatively, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Omar, he says, no, the exact opposite. He says, no, we don't know like Rav Yosef Yehuda. Afilu teimo likidushin itnu. No, this works, this brisa could be learned even according to the opinion that argues with Rav Yosef Yehuda, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's opinion, that the money that was given over by the Adon to the father, that is the equivalent of the Kesef Kiddushin. And therefore, she's married retroactively from that moment in time. So here, Shaini Hacha, why does she need Das? The Omer Rachmon Yoda, because the Torah says that you must have Das. And that's why the girl has to understand. She doesn't necessarily have to agree with it, but she has to be aware that now she is Mikudeshes from the Kesef that was originally given over. Okay, so these are the two different understandings, and now the Gemara is going to discuss exactly what is this machlokas between Rav Yosef Yehuda and Rav Nachman Yitzchak. We had it yesterday, we just had it now, we'll have it a couple more times today. So my Rav Yosef Yehuda, what exactly is the Shita of Rav Yosef Yehuda? The Tanya, because we learned in the following Braisa, the Pasuk says, Im lo yada vehefda. So yada vehefda go together, which means, Sarach she shuhus bayom kidei pidiya, that the Kiddushin has to take effect on some giving up of that prorated amount that's left in the relationship between the Omoho Evriya and the Odo. In other words, again, my scenario, she was sold for $600. So the father receives $600. According to Yosef Yehuda, he's out of the picture now. That money is his. It's not Kesef Kiddushin. It's not Kesef Yud. He's out of the picture. Now the girl has to work for 6 years. No, she works for 3 years. It's $100 each year. So she's paid off $300 of the debt. Now he wants to go and marry her. He wants his son to go and marry her. So in this situation, his rescinding the remainder of the debt, that is the kiddushin, that's the yield now that she has to have das for, and she's being married only from this point in time going forward, because until now, she didn't get anything. Now she's getting something. So from right now, not retroactively to the time that she was given over as the Omo Evriya, but only right now is she being married. So Tsarashei shows by Yom there has to be enough time left prorated. So if you do this at 3 years and it's $300, yeah, of course there's enough time. But what happens if he didn't go and want to marry her until 5 years have passed and 353 days of the 354 days in the sixth year? So in this situation, is there a penny's worth of time left that she would have to pay if she wanted to leave early? So as long as there's a Shavit Pruta left, so Tzarek Shei Shos Bayom, there has to be enough time left on that last day of the sixth year, Kidei Pediyah, that it's worth the Shavit Pruta, that she could say, yes, I'm redeeming myself and going free. So therefore, that's a Shavit Pruta, so she could get married with that Shavit Pruta. And Mikan Omer of Yosef Yehuda, we see it from here, the Shita of Yosef Yehuda, Im Ye Shos Bayom, Kidei Lasos Imo Shavit Pruta, as long as there's a Shavit Pruta left on that last day of work that she can get now redeemed for Mikudesha. So that could be the Kesef Kiddushin over here that she's being married with, Vim Lav, but if it's not, there's 10 minutes left till the Shkia and the end of the sixth year. So that's worth nothing. It's worth a 0.000 of a pruta. So then, ain't a mikudeshes. She can't be mikudeshes with that. Of course, he can marry her, be giving her shava pruta. But she can't be mikudeshes from the leftover money because there's not a shava pruta leftover prorated. And therefore, Alma Kesavar, therefore you see the Shita of Rav Yosef Yehuda is Mos Rishonos Lav L'Kiddushin Itnu. The $600 that the father got in my scenario, that is a payment for giving over his daughters in Alma Evriya, and it has nothing to do with Kiddushin. It's only when the Adon, either for himself or for his son, says, you don't have to pay me back the remainder of the prorated amount, and that amount is worth the Shava Pruta, that's how Yid works, and it works only from that point in time, from the moment that she says yes, she has to have Das. When she says, yes, I'm going to marry you, so then in that situation, she in fact is going to be married, not retroactively. On the other hand, Rav Nachman Yitzchak disagrees. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Omar, Afilu Teim Olu Kiddushin Itnu. No, you could even hold that the $600 that the father received, that is Kiddushin money. And therefore, as soon as the girl knows that now they're doing Yid to her, retroactively she was Mekudeshes from that moment in time. And therefore, Shaini Hacha, why do you need Das over here? Because the Amar Rachman of the Hefta, because the Pasuk says that you have to go and redeem her. Meaning that the concept of Yid is when this redemption, so to say, takes place. And therefore, she is in fact married retroactively. But the time that she's actually accepting the yid or made aware of the yid, that's when this takes effect. Because if she doesn't ever do this, so then she will go free at the end of 6 years and will not have been married. So the retroactive marriage from the time that the father took the $600 in only works when she knows that yid is being undergone, and that's retroactively determining that she was married from the start. So this is a machlokis between Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav tells the name of Rav Nachman, Omer Odom Levito Ketana, a man can say to his daughter who's a Ketana, nothing to do with yid, nothing to do with Omer Vriya, see, go out from my domain, the Kabli Kiddushayich, Midir Rav Yosef Yehuda, and go and accept your Kiddushin based upon this principle that Rav Yosef Yehuda said, that the Omer HaEvriya can in fact, as a Ketana, go and accept the Yehud, because the father, so to say, gave her permission to do so via Yehud. So, Rav Amar Rav Nachman says, you can learn from there that in general, not only through Omer HaEvriya, the father has the right to go tell his daughter who's a Ketana, I'm giving you up my power that you could be Mekudeshes through me, and I'm giving it to you. And you as a Ketana, a 10-year-old girl, could go and accept your own Kiddushin, which normally she would not be able to do. And Rav Amar Rav Nachman says, this is based upon this din of Yosef Yehuda. Because, after all, Lav Amar Yosef Yehuda, didn't Rav Yosef Yehuda say that the Moros Rishonos Lav L'Kiddushin Nitnu, that when the father got the $600 in my case, the father wasn't accepting Kiddushin on her behalf. And it's only with the Piron, only when there's Ki Meshaya Bo Shava Pruta Have Kiddushin, only as long as there's a prorated, at least Shava Pruta left in the time of her servitude, that's what makes her Mikudeshes. So therefore, Hochanami Lo Shna. So therefore, just like in that situation, this Kitana Omer HaEvriya can accept her own Yud, so too, the father has the right. Rav Amar Rav Nachman says that the father can give up his rights to marry off his daughter when she's a Kitana and say, here, my daughter, you have now the right to go marry off yourself. You're a 10-year-old girl, go and marry off yourself, and you have the right to do so. And Rav Amar Rav Nachman says that will work based upon this principle of Rav Yosef Yehuda. Another statement that Rav Menachem said, Rav Menachem, HaMekadish B'milva Sheyesh Alei Mashkon. If a man goes and wants to marry a woman, now, he had lent her previously money, and he has her collateral, and he now says, I'm going to forgive you the debt that you owe me, even though he gave back the collateral. So he's not literally giving her anything right now. But what he is doing is forgiving the rest of this debt that she owes him, the entire amount of the loan that she is supposed to pay him back, even though he gave her back the collateral, Mikudeshes. Rav Amar Rav Nachman says this works, again, based upon this principle of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. Why is that? Because didn't Rav Yosef Yehuda just teach us, Lav Amar Yosef Yehuda, Mos Rishonos Lav L'Kiddushin Nitnu, that the original $600, in my case, that the father got, has nothing to do with Kiddushin. That was a payment for his daughter being given over to Omer Avriya. He's out of the picture. That money's out of the picture. However, the girl, the Omer Avriya, is required to work for him for these 6 years. And at the end of, let's say, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, as long as there's enough money left prorated for her work, that it's worth a Shava Pruta, so then this is essentially Hai Halvahi. This is no different than a loan, that the man can, as we just said, can go and forgive the loan, be Mekadesh the woman with the forgiveness of the loan. And this is a valid halva and a valid kiddushin. So too over here, v'hi gufa mashkoni. She now is the equivalent of the mashkon. And Tosfos points out that you see from here that even if the man didn't give back in the case of the loan, he didn't give back the mashkon to the woman, she still can be mechudeshes with the forgiveness of the loan. And therefore, that applies over here too, that even when she is the mashkon, so to say, he has her in his possession as the baal, the adon, in this case of Amor Avriya, nevertheless, she can be mechudeshes via this concept of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda saying that it wasn't the original Kesef Kiddushin, but it's the forgiveness of the remaining servitude that she has to do. That is what is Mekadisha. So that's what Rav Amar Rav Nachman tells us. Based upon Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, we have these two dinim that he just taught us. We turn to Yotes on the days, and the Gemara says, V'chi Mishaya bo shava pruta umiyayed. We see from here that this principle that we just outlined is in fact heavy kiddushin and hochanami lushtar. So it works in the case of the loan and it works in the case of the yid, and that is what Rav Amar Rav Nachman tells us. Now we have another brisa. Tanu Rabban, we learn the following brisa. Keitzad mitzvas yid. How exactly does the mitzvah of yid take effect? So omer lo b'fnei shnayim, the adon, or theoretically the other on behalf of his son, or the son, says to this woman in front of two witnesses, Hareyat mikudeshesli, or he says Hareyat mikudeshesli. He uses one of the valid lashonos of Kiddushin to say that you are going to now be my wife. Now, this is afilu besov sheish. This could work even if it was towards the end of the 6 years. Afilu somuch l'shkiyah sechama, even on the last day of the sixth year, as long as still is a shavu pruta's worth of work left. The noeg bo minog ishus, and as long as he treats her now like a wife, as opposed to treating her like a slave girl, the eno noeg bo minog shilchus, he no longer treats her like this omor avriya, so then she is married. Rav Yosef Yehuda omer, im ye shos bayom, kidei lasos imo shavapruta, as long as there is, according to Rav Yosef Yehuda, enough of the time left that it's worth the shavapruta, if he were to redeem her with that, so then mikudeshes. However, if it's a minute before the shkia and it's worth a quarter of a penny, her little bit less left time of servitude, v'imlav ain't mikudeshes. Then Rav Yosef Yehuda says she's not mikudeshes because he holds that she's only mikudeshes from that moment in time. Nothing to do with the original 600. In my case, that the father got. It's only she's being mikudeshes with at least shavapruta's worth of time left that she doesn't have to pay. That servitude is worth a shavapruta, so then she's mikudeshes. But if it's not, it's really at the very end of the last day of the sixth year, right? Samach lushkia. So then she wouldn't be mikudeshes. And then the Brisa says, Marshall, this is a marshal, an example, lo omer leisha, for a person to say to a woman, Hiskachi li me'achshav, go and get married to me from this moment in time, but it should only take effect li'achar shloshim yom, after 30 days, if I don't change my mind, so to say, so then this kiddushin will have taken effect retroactively. Now, what happens? Uba acher, somebody else comes along, the kiddushin b'sol shloshim yom, somebody else comes along on day 15, and he says, listen, I want you to marry me. And the woman accepts the kiddushin. So is she married to the first guy, or is she married to the second guy? So this marshal that we're saying is analogous to the case that we just said, is Shemekudeshes L'Rishon. She is married to the first person at the end of the 30 days. And he says, yes, I still want to marry you. So retroactively, she was married already. So on day 15, when she accepted Kedushin with the second man, she's a married woman, and therefore that Kedushin can't take effect. And indeed, the first Kedushin takes effect. So now, Maria asks, Marshal Laman, this story that we just said, this Maisa, so who is that a marshal to? Who is that a proof to? So the Gemara says, if you can tell me, Ilei Marshal of Yosef Yehuda, if you're telling me that this goes in accord with the opinion of Yosef Yehuda, it can't, because he says the Kiddushin only takes effect at the end of the period of time of the servitude when she has accepted the yield. So, ha, im yesh shows by yom, k'nei lasos imo shavapruta, b'kudeshes v'imlav lo. So Yosef Yehuda says, no, it doesn't take effect retroactively. As I pointed out before, it only takes effect right then and there. So if it's at the end of 4 years, 5 years, so then there's certainly enough time left that it's worth the shavapruta, fine. But if it's taking place on the very last day, 10 minutes before the shkia, there may not be a shavapruta, then she wouldn't be mikudeshes. But what do you see? According to Yosef Yehuda, she's only mikudeshes from that moment in time, not retroactively. So in this case over here, where the man said, I want you to be mikudeshes to me after the 30-day period of time. So after the 30-day period of time, she would be mikudeshes, according to Yosef Yehuda. So this marshal that she is mikudeshes to the first person and not to the second person who was in Kaddish on day 15 can't go according to the opinion of Yosef Yehuda. So the Gemara says, so then who does it go to? So Amar Rav Acha Brei D'Rava, Marshal the Rabbana. It goes to the opinion of the Rabbana that argued with Yosef Yehuda and say that it's the original Kesef Kiddushin, the opinion of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that says the original money, the $600 that the father got, that was essentially Mikudeshes from that moment in time if ultimately she accepts the Yiyud. So Gemara says, Pshita, isn't that obvious? The Gemara said, no, it's not so obvious. Well, the you know what I might have said? Halo Amar Le Me Achshav. If he doesn't say Me Achshav, when the man gave the Kesef Kedushin to the father, the 600 for the Amo Evriya, so he didn't say that she will be Mekudeshes to me Me Achshav. And yet she is when she accepts the yid, according to the opinion of Renachem Yitzchak, the Bar Plukta of Yosef Yehuda. So in that situation, she is in fact, when she does accept the yid, 4 years later, 5 years later, whatever, so she is retroactive Mekudeshes, even though that wasn't specifically stated at the time that the father took the 600 bucks to give over his daughter to the Amor of Riyah. Therefore, I might have said that if you don't say his kachli miyachshav, but you just said his kachli miyachshav shem yom, you might have thought that that also takes effect retroactively, so kamash v'lan. It's only taking effect retroactively if he says his kachli miyachshav. That's the kamash v'lan, that this is a specific need to specify miyachshav, even though in the case of yod, you didn't have to specify miyachshav. Another b'risa, Tanya Yidach, another b'risa says, Hamokar is bito, if a man sells his daughters in Amor of Riyah for the 600 bucks. And then, v'holach, and then he goes and actually marries her off to somebody else. So, sichek ba'adon u'mukudeshes l'sheni. So, he laughs all the way to the bank, so to say, with the first person, the adon that he sold his daughter to is an amavriya, because the kiddushin that he gave to the second person is in fact going to be a valid kiddushin. Divrei Rav Yosef Yehuda. This is in accord with the words of Yosef Yehuda, obviously, because Rav Yosef Yehuda says that the original money that he got when he gave over his daughter to an Omer Riyah is not Kesef Kedushin. That's the Shita of Yosef Yehuda. And only when Yehud is done does the woman become a Kudeshes, as long as there's a Shavu Pruta left in the time. And here, before the Adon did Yehud, the father married her off to somebody else. She's still within the domain of the father. He has the right to marry her off. So therefore, Sichek Ba'adon, he makes fun, so to say. He's laughing all the way to the bank. I got the 600 bucks, and now I married off my daughter anyway to somebody else. And in fact, she is Mekudeshes. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. On the other hand, the Chacham Momrim, no. Since they hold that the Kesef Kedusha, this is the opinion of Nachman Yitzchak, which is that 600 bucks that the father took for the Amariah will retroactively be, in fact, Kesef Kiddushin, when she accepts the yield, so then in retrospect, she's married from that point in time. And therefore, he cannot go and accept Kiddushin to a second man. And in fact, this wouldn't be a case of Sichib Adam Kadesh Lashani. Imrat Saliyai, the first person, if he chooses to do yield, does yield. And the second person that the father accepted Kiddushin from is not a valid marriage, because the yield is a valid marriage retroactively. And then the Brisa says, Marshal, this is analogous to L'Omer L'Isha. A man says to a woman, Harat Mekudeshes li L'Yachas Shol Shem Yom, who just says, you're going to be married to me after 30 days. And then she goes and accepts Kedusha from somebody else before the 30 days. Ubo Acher V'Kitcha B'Sol Shol Shem Yom. A guy comes along on day 15 and marries her. So Mekudeshes L'Sheni. In this situation, she is in fact married to the second person, because the first person's Kedusha didn't take effect till day 30. So again, the Gemara asks, Marshal Lamad, the second part of the Brisa, who's it coming to bring support to? So you're going to tell me, Elam or the Rabbanan, coming to bring support to the opinion of the Rabbanan that says that she is retroactively married to the original Adon, because the Yud takes effect now, but it retroactive means the Kedusha was at the time that he gave the 600 bucks to the girl's father, so that can't be. So obviously, this can't be talking about that scenario. Ella, Omar Rav Acha Brei de Rava. So Rav Acha, son of Rava, says, this is the Marshal, Rav Yosef Yehuda, to come to teach us the din of Rav Yosef Yehuda. The Gemara says, it's obvious, Pshita. Obviously, since there is no marriage retroactively according to Rav Yosef Yehuda, and since he didn't say Me'achshav over here, so the Kiddushin will only take effect on day 30. So if somebody else comes along and chops on day 15 and marries her, so of course that person is married. What's the Brisa coming to teach us? It's obvious. He says, no, it's not so obvious. Ma'alutema, you know what I might have thought? Ha'lo amar lo li'achar shloshim yom. When the yid was given over, the money, the 600 bucks was given over to the father, he didn't tell the girl, well, I'm going to go and do yid to you in 30 days. He didn't say that. And yet we say, according to the opinion of Yosef Yehuda, that it's as if he said, I'm only going to marry you in 30 days. We don't say it takes effect retroactively. So even without saying it will take effect in 30 days, it only takes effect at that point in time. So therefore, if the person says, this Kedushin shall take effect in 30 days, it's kashli b'shloshim yom, you know what I might have thought? I might have thought in that situation that since he mentions in 30 days, it's as if he's saying from now, and it will take effect in 30 days. You might have thought that that's the case. Therefore, Kamash V'lam, know that that's not the case. That in fact, even there, the Kiddushin is only going to take effect in 30 days. And therefore, the Chiddush is that the second man can be Mekadesh on day 15. Okay, these are the two Diyukim over here in this din. Now we have another braisa. Tanya Ido, we learn another braisa. Hamocher es bito. If a man goes and sells off his daughter as an omer of riyah, uposak, but he makes the following condition. He says, listen, I'm destitute, but I don't want my daughter to marry you. You, Baruch Hashem, can take her in as an omer of riyah. You'll be able to support her and feed her, and I can support my family, and I'm making a deal over here that you're taking her in as an omer of riyah, but al menas shelo liyayit, that there shouldn't be yid over here. This is not going to work retroactively, like the opinion of Rav Nachman Yitzchak. It's not going to work, even according to the opinion of Yosef Yehuda, when you offer her this money as kesef kiddushin by saying she doesn't have to pay it back. I'm not giving over this daughter of mine to you for yid purposes. I'm just purely giving her over to you as an omer of riyah. So, what is the din? Niskayim hatznai. Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says, yes, this is a valid type of a tanai. The tanai doesn't go against Dovah Shekosu B'Torah, as we'll see in a moment. That will be the question. And Rav Meir holds that this is a perfectly valid setup over here, that the father is selling his daughter as an omer of riyah for 6 years, but not for yield, not for kiddushin, because he stated it's amanat shelo liyayit. That's the opinion of Rav Meir. Chacham disagree. Chacham say, no. Chacham omrim, imrotzu liyayim yayit. The Adon over here can still be miyayid her because to know batel. In fact, this person made it tonight. The father made it tonight. It goes against what the Torah says. The Torah says the Om of Riyah is implied within this as a din of yid, and therefore the father has no right to make it tonight. That goes against what's written in the Torah. And in fact, if you make it tonight against what's written in the Torah, the tonight is batel, and the deal goes through. So therefore, this girl is an omer of riyah, and if the adon wishes to do yid with her or for her son, he has the right to do so, despite the fact that the father made a tonight al menash lo yayid. This is machlokis Rav Meir and the chachamim. No, Rav Meir to know kaim. According to Rav Meir, the tanai is kaim, implying that he says you can make a tanai against Masha Kosa B'Torah. So that seems to be Rav Meir's opinion, but that goes against what Rav Meir said elsewhere. But Tani, we're learning another brisa. Omer Elisha, the man says to a woman, Hariat mekudeshes li amanash ein lach alai she'erek susviona. The man wants to marry a woman, and he says, yes, I'll marry you, but I don't want to have any of the obligations that the Torah requires. The famous She'erok Susav Yonasa Lo Yigra. So he has to go and give her food, he has to go and give her clothing and shelter, and he has to go and have marital relations with her. So if he says, yes, I will be your husband, you'll be my wife, you are going to be my wife, Riyat Mekudeshes Li, but it's with the understanding that I don't have to supply any of those things to you. So then the Brice states, Harei Zu Mekudeshes, the woman is a married woman, but all the tanoim fall off. He has to give a sheik to Sviona, Utano Bartel, Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is the opinion of Meir, because he's going against Masha Kosma Torah. The Torah says, Sheirok Susaviona So, Lo Yigra. He's not allowed to withhold those things. And therefore, Meir's opinion is this is Masna Masha Kosma Batorah, and Kol Masna Masha Kosma Batorah, Utano Bartel, and she's married. So therefore, Rav Meir clearly holds that you're not allowed to make a tanai against Masha Kosma Torah. So this is the question. How can he say via the yield that a tanai, Amanash Loliyayid, works? Rav Yehuda comes along and qualifies it a little bit. He doesn't disagree totally, but he says, Yudomar Omer, Bidavar Shev, Mimamon, any financial transactions, no kind. The husband and wife have the right to do whatever they want. They can make any financial transactions. The wife could say, listen, I want to be supportive of you. I support myself. I make more money than you would give me, so I don't want to be supported by you. And in regards to finances, she says, I have a beautiful home here. I don't want to live in your home. I have my own clothing. I don't want your stuff. So she has the right to say that. However, in regards to the marital relations, that she doesn't have a right to say yes or no to. The husband can't go and say, I'll marry you, but it will be a loveless marriage. It will be without relations. That the husband doesn't have a right to go and say and do. She doesn't have the right to say, I don't wish to have relations with you. And therefore, bedavar shebamamon, and only financial matters, then they can make any tonight that they want. But if they made it the tonight about ona, so then the marriage would be a real marriage, and they are allowed to have relations with each other. The tonight is bato. Bottom line is, the opinion of Rav Meir says that Masna Mashkos B'Torah to no Bartel. How can you say by Yehud it's not? So Chizki says, Shiny Hacha. In regards to Yehud, it's different because the Amar Kra Li Amar. The Torah says it could be for an Amar of Riyah. Pamim She'eno Mochra El Li Amar Bovad. Implying that it's not a din in the Torah that it must be for Yehud. It could be just as an Amar of Riyah. So if the person says, I want to take this route that the Torah prescribes, and not that route, yield that the Torah prescribes, he has the right to do so, and therefore it's not Masna Mashikos of the Torah, that's the opinion of Chizkiah in understanding Rav Meir. I, the Rabbanon, what do they do with the word Amma then? The Rabbanon, Hai, Lioma, my Adilai. So what do they do with that? So the Rabbanon needed, Hai, Maboya, Le, Lichatanya, Lehu, Lichatanya. They need it for the following drasha in the Raisa. Because this Raisa says, Lioma, But it says a man sells his daughter La'ama of Ria Melamed Shemokhu Lipsulim. They need the word La'ama to teach us that you're allowed to go and sell your daughter to somebody who is an issa to go and marry her, even though the Kedusha would be Chal, but it's also to go marry her to these Psulim, for example, to sell her to a Mamzer or a one of the Givonim. So in these situations, the Kedusha would be Chal. So if you need a pasuk to tell me that technically he could sell it to those people where we wouldn't allow the marriage l'chatchila to take effect, but since the marriage could take effect, melamed shemochel psulim. That's what the chacham need the word amma to teach us. Where it says it should be a kavachomer velo dinu im mekadsho l'psulim. If the father is allowed to technically go and marry it to a psulim, so certainly it shouldn't be a kavachomer lo yom karen psulim. Certainly should be able to sell it to psulim, which may not lead to marriage. So where it says no, it's not a kavachomer. You need the Amma, you need the Pasuk Amma according to the Chachamim to teach us this thing, because it's not a Kabbal Chomer. The fact that the father can go be Mekadosh to the Psulim, so Shekain Odom Mekadosh is Bito Kishinara. The father has more power in regards to Kedushin because he can go marry you off even when she's in Nara, not only when she's a Ketana. As opposed to Yim Karen of the Psulim, you need a Pasuk to tell me that he can sell it to Psulim because he doesn't have the same power in terms of selling her. Shein Odom Mocher is Bito Kishinara. He can only sell her while she's a Ketana and not while she's in Nara. So therefore, you can't bring me a riot from marriage to the sale. And therefore, you need a special Pasuk Omer to teach us that the father has the right to go and sell it to Psulim. Oh, Talmud Lomar, Lo Omer, Balami Shemocher L'Psulim. That's what you need the word Omer for according to the Chachamim. Rebbe Lezer gives a different reason. Rebbe Lezer Omer, Im Lelamed Shemochu L'Psulim. If you needed the word Amma to teach you that he's allowed to sell it to Psulim, that's not true. Hare Kvar Nemar, I wouldn't need it for that because it says, Im Ro'ah Be'enei Adonel. In other words, if the Adon doesn't want to go and marry her, he doesn't have to do Yir. So the Hefta, he goes and lets her go free. So what does it mean, Im Ro'ah Be'enei Adonel? It means Shiroah B'Nisuel. It's not a good Kedushin. In other words, it's a forbidden marriage. It's, albeit the Kedusha will be Chal, but it's a forbidden marriage. So I already know that from Imra B'nei Adonel, that for a marriage to Psulim, there is a Psul over here, and he doesn't wish to do Yir, implying that he could sell it to Psulim. So I don't need the word Amma to teach us that. I already have Imra B'nei Adonel to teach you that. Therefore, according to Rabbi Lezer, Matam Lo Amma, why do the Chacham need the word Amma? What does that teach us? Melamed Shemoch, when we turn to Chof Amad Aleph, Likrovin, that he would be allowed to go or marry off to relatives where the Kedushin isn't even going to be Chal. As Rashi said, top Rashi, Avogav she'en kan yud, she'en Kedushin tosuba. Here, he's marrying her off to his father-in-law. So, Kedushin aren't going to be Chal in that situation. So, nevertheless, the Pasuk, according to Relezo, Omo, according to the Chachamim, teaches us that he can go and sell it to Krovin. Agmar says that should also still be a kavachomer. Velo dinu im mochel psulim. If the father is allowed to sell it to psulim, where the kedushin would be chal, so loyin krenel lekrovim shouldn't be able to sell it to krovim as well, where the kedushin aren't going to be chal. So Agmar says malam mochel psulim. If he's selling it to psulim, shim rotzel yamiyad. No, that's exactly the point. Technically, the kedushin would be chal, albeit they're doing an aveira, but the kedushin would be chal. So yim krenel lekrovim. How can you tell me that therefore he should be able to sell it to Krovim? Shimrotz liyad, ain't liyad, that there is no potential for yid. The yid won't take effect. With the psulim, the yid would take effect, albeit with an aveira, but with the Krovim, it won't take effect at all. Oh, that's why. You don't have a kavachom here. Amma kroli amma, melame shemochu l'krovim. That's what you need this pasuk for, to teach us that the father is allowed to go sell to Krovim. Nadik Mora goes back and says, Rav Meir, who used the word liyama to teach us the din, that you're allowed to make a t'nai over here, that if you say al-menash lo ya'ay, that is able to be done, because the Torah tells us liyama that you can sometimes sell to an omer. It's not a dover shemasna, a person not making a t'nai against mash kosa b'torah. So what is then, how does Rav Meir learn out these dinim that we just said? Rav Meir, so lipsulin, to teach us the din, that you can go and sell the omer of Riyah, your daughter, to a posel, let's say a person that she's not allowed to marry, although the kedusha would be chal, navkalo mehecha, the navkalo le Rabbi Eliezer. He would learn it out the same way that Rabbi Eliezer learned it out. We had said that Rabbi Eliezer learned it out, and the pasuk imra b'nei adonel. So he used that as the drasha to teach us about the psulim, and therefore he did need the word l'alma for that. So Rabbi Meir would also learn it out the same way Rabbi Eliezer did. And the din of the krovim, solo karabanan, the amri ain't mochel krovim. Oh, he holds like the chum and say, you're in fact not allowed to sell to the krovim because there is no potential for marriage. And therefore, that's how Rav Meir would learn out these din. Now, Gemara tells us two more brises. Tani Chada, we learn one brisa, mochel aviv, the ain't mochel avino. The first brisa tells us that you're allowed to go and sell the girl, the father can sell his daughter to his father. So he's selling his own daughter to her own grandfather. However, but he's not allowed to go and sell his daughter to his son. In other words, her brother. Now, obviously, this is a problem because both the grandfather and the brother are prohibited to her. These are krovim that would not be allowed to marry her. The kedusha would not be chal. So why is there a distinction over here in this brisa that you're allowed to sell to the father, i.e. the grandfather of the girl, but not to his son, i.e. the brother of the girl? So the Tanya Idach, another brisa, says, no, you can't sell to either of them. Ein mocha lo li'aviv v'lo li'no. That makes very good sense because both of them, if you hold it, you're not allowed to sell to krovim. So then you wouldn't be allowed to sell to either of these krovim, the girl's grandfather or the girl's brother. So the second brisa makes sense, but it contradicts the first brisa. So bishlama ein mocha lo li'aviv v'lo li'no k'rabbanan. This opinion that we said, you can't sell the girl to somebody who is a korov, that the chidusha would not be chal. So that goes according with the opinion that we just said of the chachamim, that opinion that Rav Meir also holds to, that ein mocha l'krovim. But the first brisa, how do you understand that? Ela mocha li'aviv, to sell the man to sell his daughter to his own father, to the girl's grandfather, that was allowed, but not ein mocha l'aviv, no, not to sell to a son, i.e. the girl's brother. Who does that go like? Come on. Does it go like the Rabbanan? Lo Rabbanan. We just said they don't allow you to sell to Krovim. Lo Rabbi Elazar. And it doesn't like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Said you can sell to Krovim. So then you should be able to sell to both the father of the man, i.e. the grandfather of the girl, or to the son of the man, i.e. the brother of the girl. So this first Brisa, which says Mocha Liyavav, Ein Mocha Liyavav, doesn't go according to either one. Someone says the Olam Kerabbanan. It actually goes in accord with the opinion of the Chacham, Ein Mocha Liyavav. However, why are you allowed to sell to the man's father, i.e. to the girl's grandfather? There is a potential for yid in this situation, and therefore it is allowed. What is the potential for yid? So Rashi says, Kishemochro li'aviv v'yeshlo ben li'ada. Because while the girl can't marry her grandfather, she would be allowed to marry her grandfather's other son, not her father, obviously, but her uncle. So technically there is a potential for yid, because the Torah tells us that either the person who purchased her can do yid or the man's son. So therefore, since the uncle, her grandfather's son, her father's brother, is potentially capable to do yid with her, you are allowed to marry your uncle, girl's allowed to marry your uncle. So therefore, in that situation, there is a potential for the grandfather's son, i.e. her uncle, and therefore that's why the first price says you're allowed to go and the father can sell to his father, his own daughter, he can sell his daughter to her grandfather, because there's a potential that she can marry the uncle. However, to his son, there is no potential to go and marry anybody else there, because the nephew, i.e. the son's son, would be a nephew of the girl, and the nephew is not allowed to marry his aunt, and therefore that would be a forbidden relationship for the brother, i.e. the man's son, the father's son, or for the father's son's son, the grandson, which would be the nephew of the daughter that is being sold. And therefore, there is no potential to do yid. And that's why the first brisa says to the father, mocha li'aviv, because the grandfather, she could marry his son, i.e. her uncle. Whereas the son of the father, i.e. her brother, there's no way she can marry him, and there's no way she can marry his son. That would be her nephew, and an aunt can't marry a nephew. So in this way, we've reconciled the two brises, and with this we conclude today's share.